Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Welcome to Radio Renegades, where I'm your host, Christian from Philly, and now joining us today, filling in for Batman's seat, whether or not he shows up today, I don't know, Minister of Sinister!
Yay! Woo-hoo! Thank you. Thank you very much. See, everybody's having a good time, I see.
Yeah. So, Minister, I like to continue the conversation we were having on Shinsuke Nakamura's U.S. title run before we go on with the rest of the show, shall we?
I believe we were talking about this on Fatal 4-Way Radio Thursday. So, yeah, let's go ahead, man. Why not?
All right. So, let's continue on what we were saying. What I left off was, the one thing that bugs me about Shinsuke Nakamura is the fact that he doesn't show anger in his character. Like, when he loses, he doesn't get angry. Or when he's poorly booked, he doesn't get angry. And I think that's the one major flaw in his whole character, Minister.
That's interesting. I had not thought about that or put any thought about that until you brought it up. And now I'm thinking about it. And you're right. He has only the same... Man, it's the same characteristics that he has the whole time. It's just, he's like mocking or, you know, he's always on that same level. He never changes that part of his character. So, you know, it'd be nice to see different emotions out of him. And I would definitely like to see some anger from him. This whole thing where he's just mocking and, you know, kind of making fun and smiling all the time. You know, it gets kind of old, man. Let's see some anger from him.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Also, he doesn't do the thing that got him over in the first place as a heel. He doesn't do the low blows anymore.
And that's what bothers me. I mean, it seems like they went out of their way to do the low blow thing with him and AJ Styles. You know, even AJ Styles made a deal out of it. And now he was even talking about it in one of his promos, how Daniel Bryan also used the low blow. And so he made reference to that as well, AJ Styles, that is. But yeah, Nakamura, it seems like they went out of their way to do that. He did it I don't know how many times to AJ Styles. And then it just went away, you know? It's like he doesn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
I think he should have kept on using it even without the referee scene. There's plenty of chances that he could do it.
In a way, I'm glad he didn't win the WWE title because I feel like he's never going to be ready for the big one. I feel like he's never going to be ready.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've wanted to see him do something a little bit more than what he did in WWE, but hindsight is 20/20, and, you know, I mean, here we are. We're towards the end of his contract, and he really didn't do anything special in WWE, at least not to me, and I feel like he was just given this title just as like a, you know, consolation prize. But even so, the title run did nothing for him. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It's been abysmal at best.
He should be in a tag team with somebody. Maybe that will help him.
But who?
Randy. Because Randy's always been helping him.
Well, that would be interesting. And nothing ever became of that.
No.
You know, if you've noticed, they never explained why Randy Orton was coming out during his matches and saving the day, so to speak. Nobody ever brought that up. I found that interesting as well.
All right, man. Let's continue on with myth booking opportunities where we talk about all the shit they could be doing to excite the fans and actually entertain the fans. But they chose not to. The first one, British pay-per-views. And this one, we had, like, old British pay-per-views, like Rebellion. Like, I forgot the rest, because that was it, because that's how terrible they were. They were all forgettable except for Rebellion. But now, with NXT UK, they're trying to do it again. So, Minister, what's your opinion about the old British pay-per-views, and what do you think they could improve with the new ones right now?
Well, I have to be frank with you. I've never seen any of these British pay-per-views. And the reason why is because they don't have any talent that I know or recognize. It would be different if I would watch these programs on a regular basis, but I don't. So, therefore, I have no interest when they announce these people. I don't even know who they are. But if they mixed in some talent, say from NXT, SmackDown Live, or even Raw in with them, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole bunch of them, but it could be, you know, one, maybe a tag team and maybe a single, and have a program where the person comes in from Europe and does something over here. Maybe, you know, not all the time, but maybe like 1 week on Raw, you know, and maybe a week. That week that he was here on Raw, I'm talking about the British superstar, that week that he would come in, he could also go on the road and do the house shows with the Raw brand that week, you know, and they could capture some footage and shit, you know, and work it in somehow. If they did something like that, to me, that would be great. It would get more eyes on to the British networks, you know, or the British part of their network.
They could also have the Royal Rumble UK, where every UK wrestler is in a Royal Rumble match, but the UK version, and the winner faces Pete Dunne for the United Kingdom Championship at WrestleMania.
Exactly. They could do all kinds of things like that to incorporate interest from the American fans, but they don't, and that's where they're dropping the ball. But, you know, I get the feeling that Triple H listens to us each and every week. Somehow, some way,
yeah.
And Vince McMahon too, because I mean, you have to face it, man. Some of the things we say on here, and then they go and they do the complete opposite, or sometimes it's right on the money. But it's like, anyway, they're listening. So if they're listening, maybe this is something that they'll do in the future.
Yeah,
because we need it, you know. Otherwise, I mean, I'm never going to be interested in that. But if you throw in somebody, say you throw in Bobby Roode in a feud with somebody. Over there, Pete Dunne mentioned. You know, say you do something like that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Bobby Roode has to come out the winner, you know, but he could go over there and do a program. I mean, what is he doing right now? Well, right now, yeah, he's doing a thing with Chad Gable. But shit, 2 months ago, what was he, you know, we were shitting on him every week because he didn't have anything to do. You know, he was just out there losing every week, looking like a big chump. But you put him in a program with one of these superstars from the UK, and they could turn into something.
I'm still saying that Chad Gable is going to be the one to turn heel, not Bobby Roode. I'm still calling that.
I hope so. That would be really cool. That would be really cool, but I still don't see that. I still think it's going to be Chad Gable. I mean, Bobby Roode that turns on him. But we shall see.
So the next misbooking opportunity is a fellow wrestler that's gone down from Raw to the show called Main Event. Mojo Rawley. Now, people have been saying, where's Mojo? Where has he been on Raw? Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that. He moved down to Main Event. He moved down to Main Event. So that's where he's been wrestling.
Wow.
Terrible. He's even bad there, too. He's even bad there,
I did not know that, because it seems like about, what was it, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, they gave him a little run, a little push, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks of TV time. And then again, about a month and a half ago, they gave him another, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks of TV time. And then again, he's gone. And just like that, he's gone, vanishes into thin air. And it's like, well, where the hell is he? And now I know he's on Superstars. Once you know, if he's relegated to Superstars, once they've already tossed him to Superstars, I think it's because they're not seeing something that they want to see from him. And so they take him off of Raw, send him the superstars, and hopefully he can discover for himself what it is that he needs to change about himself. Sometimes you have to, you know, let people change on their own. You know, you have to let them, you know, do something for them just to set them on the right track so they can see if they want it. Once they see that they want it, then, you know, they can come back a different player. It's no big deal. You know what I mean? But these superstars, they need to see that they want it, and they need to see how to go about getting it and doing it. And this guy, Mojo Rawley, he's got the freaking – he's got the size and everything. He's got the freaking – what do you want to call it? Like, I mean, he's just so powerful, right,
the
way he is and the way he acts. But he just seems to be lacking it. He doesn't have, like, the charisma or something, so he needs to work on that type of shit. You know, if he has to sit in the fucking motel room instead of going to the bar and shit and sit in front of that motel room in front of the mirror and talk to himself and make himself fucking laugh and shit a little bit, he needs to do something. I don't know what the hell he needs to do. Maybe he needs to go stand up at a freaking comedy show and do an open mic night, you know, and work on some material like that. He needs to have some... He needs to know how to get some rapport going with the fans is what he needs to do. And I don't know. He's just not connecting, and, you know, hopefully he connects, finds a way to connect. Otherwise, he's gonna be gone. What's left for him?
Yeah, Well, I've been watching Main Event on Hulu. By the way, it's on Hulu. For everyone who don't know, Main Event is on Hulu. And he still wrestles the same way he was on Raw, so there's no improvement whatsoever. He showed the exact same way he left the Raw.
Yeah, it's just like intensity. You know, he reminds me of Macho Man, but without the charisma and shit. You know, he's just go, you know, and I don't know. It just looks bad, it looks sloppy, and it even looks careless.
I'm amazed he hasn't injured anybody yet.
Yeah.
Well,
don't speak too soon.
The next one should be interesting. Ambrose's heel turn reveal. Now, we all think, I don't speak for everybody, but I think the majority of us think that the reveal of why Dean Ambrose turned heel was garbage. It was shit and it was lame. What are your thoughts about the reveal, Minister, on why he turned?
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't like it. I thought it was done too fast. It seemed like it was. Obviously, Creative's hand was, their arm was turned into it. They had to rush up on it. I mean, they're gonna be here in town Monday night, and that's, you know, 2 days away. I don't even have tickets. I haven't even looked into getting tickets. I'm not even sure I want to go. Normally, I would be there. Without question, I would be there. If I'm watching, well, there's times when I don't watch, and if I'm not watching, I don't bother going. But if I'm watching, which right now I'm watching on a weekly basis, I always go. But I have no desire to go because that's how bad it is right now. I might still go, but I have no desire. Having said that, you know, their hand got turned into this, forced into this by, you know, Roman Reigns, his leukemia coming back. So they got turned into, because they were scheduled to have a match. They're still advertising it on the radio. They changed up their advertisement on TV. But on the radio, it's still the same commercial advertising the Shield match versus, you know, the other three guys, McIntyre and Ziggler. On the radio, it's completely off. So if these people are casual fans listening to the shit on the radio, they're not going to get
gonna
that
get,
at all.
They're going to get confused. They're going to get confused. Yeah. They're confusing the people.
Yeah. It's bad how they did not change the spot on the radio, but anyway, I digress. The whole thing about Ambrose's heel turn reveal, they were forced into it, and I think that it showed. I didn't like it because it showed that they were forced into it. They rushed it, and then now they're using the whole thing about, you know, Roman Reigns' leukemia, it seems, and it seems like they're not going to stop. They're going to keep using it. That's a pretty heel thing to do. But he didn't need it, man. He didn't need to go all out like that. He was still going to be a heel. We already knew he was going to be a heel. And they forced into it. They rushed into it. And I just think that, you know, when you rush into something, you're hasty, and haste makes waste. They fucked it up, man. They bungled it completely. But here we are. He's full-fledged heel now. You know, won't tell Ambrose or Rollins what's going on or what. You know, he's just a heel.
The number one question on everybody's mind is, what's his fucking character? What's his character?
I told you, man. I revealed his character the night he came back. He's the fucking Gerber baby. Pissed off Gerber baby, man.
Damn, dude.
He's a pissed off fucking Gerber baby is what he is.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's getting less over than he was as a face than now as a heel. He's getting less over.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had that heel moment, you know? He needs to have a good heel moment. And these beatdowns that he's doing on Rollins week after week or whatever, he's already beat him down, like, what, twice, I think? They're not the heel moments we need. I mean, he needs to do something else. It's just not working, man. It's not working, but it has to. It has to work because they're forced into it right now. They're going through with this regardless. So maybe they'll find a way to make it work at TLC. They better damn well find a way.
Yeah. But before we go to break, I'd like to discuss a little theory and possibility. Now, we all know that Braun Strowman's injured with bone spurs, but it's been revealed that he's going to return this Monday night on Raw. Braun Strowman's going to return, Minister.
What's that now?
Braun Strowman's going to return this Monday night Raw.
That's what the word going around the campfire is. But he's going to return to see if he's needed, to do a promo or something. But they're not expecting him in action. Of course not. Everything. If anything, it would be probably something from the back. You know, probably something that he does from the back, or something pre-recorded, or some type of shit.
Well, the real question is, who's gonna face Baron Corbin at TLC if not Braun Strowman? I think it's going to be John Cena because he's been confirmed to return to Monday Night Raw.
I'm sorry, what was that? You think Cena returns this week?
Yeah.
Big John saves the day.
he's going to return to Baron Corbin again. This is going to be the second time he buries him.
John Cena saves the day. What can we say?
Yeah. Also.
And John Cena comes out and saves the day, baby.
Also, it's been announced on the WWE website that three matches have been added on the pay-per-view for TLC. Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre, Elias versus Bobby Lashley, and a triple threat match between The Bar, The Usos, and The New Day.
Well,
what's your opinion?
They're going to have to sell them to me, man. They're going to have to sell them to me. This pay-per-view is taking place on Sunday. The football season is getting hot right now. And it's going down, what, two? We have over 2 weeks before this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It happens. So, you know, they're going to have to fucking sell it to me, man, because right now football is heating up and shit. And, I mean, they're going to have to sell it to me. They're going to have to find a way to sell this one to me because I don't know that match. So far, the only match they sold me is the women's TLC match.
Yeah. For the triple threat,
that's the only one they sold me. I know about the others. You know, you just filled me in on them and everything, and That's fine and dandy, yeah. But they have not sold me on those matches yet. They haven't said,
no.
They haven't fucking etched it in my mind. Oh, fuck, man, whatever's happening, you need to step aside from that, and you need to watch this fucking match. Because at this point, I'm changing the channel.
This pay-per-view is already looking like garbage already.
Already, man. Already. That's what's fucked up about
well,
it, man.
I already know, having all of their resources. I already know that Drew McIntyre is going to beat Finn Balor.
Yeah.
There's no way Balor's going to win that match.
No way. No fucking way.
No. If Balor fucking wins, I'm going to riot.
Man, fucking... If Balor wins, you're going to riot?
Yeah, because he's dead. Drew needs the push, not Balor no more.
Yeah, you're right, dude. Balor's done. I mean, he's fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
He is a jobber to the stars now.
Yeah.
You need somebody to step up your game, to elevate your game, so that you can elevate your game. You know what? Feed him Balor. Let's bring Balor in. He'll do a good job putting you over. Who all has he been putting? He's been putting everybody over lately. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Every time I turn around, he's fucking losing. He's fucking got his ass on the mat losing.
Well, except for Lashley. He didn't put Lashley over. Only once.
Yeah.
Well, fuck Lashley, too, by the way.
Fuck Lashley. He's the weak link of this new faction they've got going, too.
I think it's a temporary faction.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
I don't know what's going to become of that.
I think it's
going to
disappear once Corbin loses. Why is Drew McIntyre part of a faction anyway again? Shouldn't he be solo by now?
Man, he should be. How the hell? Don't we have that? Yeah, we have that coming up. Drew McIntyre, what if he debuted without Ziggler? Yeah, we've got that coming up.
Yeah. So when we come back from commercial break, we're going to discuss that. Okay, Minister?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Used Car Lot Auto Salesman.
Mr. Used Car Lot Auto Salesman.
Slick back hair, a sharkskin suit, alligator boots. You cultivate a look that oozes, trust me.
I think that I can trust you.
You stand behind every car you sell. Because if you stood in front and the brakes failed, you'd be crushed.
You better watch out now.
Oil leak? What oil leak? That puddle under the car is just sweat from all that horsepower.
Let the horses out now.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Peddler of the Sheet Metal. Because when life hands you lemons, you sell them.
Mr. Used Car Lot Auto Salesman.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
People everywhere are signing up to join...
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary?
Something really scary.
You want to see something really scary?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
versus Steiner. The one that never happened at Fall Brawl is going to happen at Halloween Havoc. A lot of stress for both you and members of your family. Do you think you pushed too hard, Rick, for this particular match?
No, I don't, Gene. You know, my brother, he's brought this on himself. And this has been coming for a long, long time, Gene. When we get the fall.
What? What the devil? What is that? Wait a minute. Take a look. Get that dummy out of here. We're trying to conduct an interview.
Who's that? Who the heck is that, Gene?
Shut him up, please. Give it a rest.
Get that dummy out here.
What?
Hey,
wait a
cue ball. Who what? You calling a dummy?
Wait a minute.
You're standing there with the genetic throwback who barks at the moon. I'm doing love scenes with Jennifer Tilly, and you're calling me a dummy?
Say it again.
Yeah?
We call you.
You're a dummy.
Hey, what's the matter? For a guy who never shuts up, you sure don't have much to say, Mean Gene.
Well, just a second here, Chucky.
Shut the hell up.
Don't let him talk to you like that.
I didn't come here to talk to you anyway. I came here to talk to that idiot standing next to you.
Hey, bring your raggedy rear end down here. You got something to say to me.
Wouldn't you, Ricky? You've been playing with dolls all your life. At least that's what your mother tells me.
Oh, please.
But I'm not your type. You need a kinder, gentler, dumber doll. Me? I'd show you what it's like to get your head twisted off, your arms and legs bent and broken. And when I'm done with you, I'd let the dogs chew on you like some old shoe. How would you like that, Ricky?
You got something to say? Say it. If you ain't got nothing to say, get the heck out of here.
I'm here to tell everyone that if they want to see a real pro at work, they should go and see my new movie, Bride of Chucky, opening October 16th. And I want to give you some advice, Ricky. Don't mess with Scott. You see, what I really want to do is direct. And Scott's the lead in my next project. So if you mess with Scott, you're messing with me and my Academy Award. And Chucky's gonna get more than lucky, Ricky. Chucky's gonna get even.
Well, that's insanity. That's lunacy.
What the fuck?
Wow, by the judges of the sounds of the crowd, you already know this promo was shit. And you know they were booing both Mean Gene and Rick Steiner. What do you think Mean Gene felt when he did this promo, Minister?
What do I think he thought? I think he thought, holy shit, man. Ted Turner's paying me a shitload of money to stand out here talking to a fucking doll, man. I can't believe it. Holy shit. I had never heard of this or seen this until I had to go through and look for it to get the material for this show. So thank you very much for sharing this. What the fuck, man? Clearly they had a deal with Turner. The doll was there to promote the movie, to promote what Chucky 2, the Bride of Chucky or some shit. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's why they did this promo. That's the only reason why they did this promo. But holy fuck, man. Yeah, it was a commercial. I mean, it was a live fucking commercial. It might have been the first time that something like that's ever been done. I don't know. I mean, because this was clearly a live commercial, you know, to go see. I know WWE has been doing some shit like that lately with their KFC and with their, you know, some other things
they
like
did.
That. And frankly,
that
I can't believe they haven't been doing it all along.
They did that with Pee Wee Herman at one point, too.
Yeah. And so, frankly, I can't believe they haven't been doing it all along. But, you know, I mean, That's really all this was. It was a fucking one of those outrageous moments for, you know, a commercial, man, to go see the freaking movie. I wish I would have seen this when it was going on. I would have probably laughed at it. But yeah, it is silly, man. It's just some silly shit.
Do you remember the whole Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner feud? Did you ever saw that match?
Which one?
Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner. That was what the promo was about. Rick Steiner was feuding against his brother.
I saw a version of that, but I think it was way before this. I don't think this was the first time around that they had a feud. I seem to remember one back when Scott was still wearing the wrestling gear, the amateur wrestling gear, the headgear and all that shit. I seem to remember back then where they split up for a while and had a falling out. But I don't seem to remember the second one. I don't remember watching.
This is when Scott Steiner joined the NWO.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching the NWO, but at one time I gave up on that shit. I mean, Raw was much too interesting, and it was just time to bail out completely on WCW. This might have been after that happened. This might have happened after I bailed out on WCW. I'm not exactly sure. It happened so many years ago too. Sometimes I feel like I should, you know, take some time and go back and watch some of these old classics. Because they are classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, classically awful, but I digress. Let's move on to what the fuck moments. And the first
what the
one.
Fuck? Hold on. What the fuck moments? Here we go.
What the fuck is going on?
So the first one is, I don't know if you remember this, but it's about Al Snow eating his dead dog, Minister. Do you remember that moment?
No, I do not. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But I'm going to pull it up on YouTube and watch it right now so that you can get my instant reaction on that. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect because I thought it was kind of gone too far, but it was funny at the same time.
Okay, here we go. Al Snow eats his dog. So let me check this out. Oh, hell. He's at the house?
Yeah, by the way, the dog's name is Pepper.
Yeah. Okay, Al Snow is about to eat Pepper here. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm seeing. Oh, it's a Chihuahua, no less?
Yeah.
The fuck? Oh, they're at a cheap hotel. They're not even at the house. They're at a hotel. Oh, man. So, let me get this straight. Big Boss Man fed him his dog?
Yeah.
Without Al Snow knowing?
No. Yeah.
Oh, man. Big Boss Man, total heel. Holy shit. That is taking it a bit too far. And so I'm watching it now. So how did Al Snow find out? Oh, hell. When Big Boss Man attacked him, he told him?
Yeah, he says, you're eating a little bit of pepper, as in the pepper condiment is a joke. Because he's eating his dog
shit.
Pepper. You want some pepper with that?
Oh, man. That's fucking ridiculous. Get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck was that?
I'm watching it right now. And then as if that wasn't enough, he's beating the shit out of him, choking him with his with his fucking nightstick. Come on, get the hell out of here.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, hell. Yeah, man, it's a bit much, man. I have to agree with you on this. It is a bit much, man. Let's go to the next one.
What the fuck?
Now, the next one is also an outrageous moment. Mark Henry makes out with a drag queen.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. And, yeah, man, this is crazy. Vince McMahon written all over it. Vince McMahon all over it. And, you have to expect this type of shit from Vince McMahon. I didn't agree with it then. I don't agree with it now. I think it's fucking disgusting, man, that they would even...
Yeah.
And you know what? Nowadays, they probably would never make fun of something like that because they would have LGBTQ, RSHT, whatever the hell it is now, coming after them big time.
And Kyle Jenner.
Yeah. They would be coming after them big time. But, yeah, man, that was some crazy stuff, man. I mean, you don't see anything close to that on TV nowadays.
Which one was worse?
Or at least on WWE.
Which one was worse, Mark Henry making out with a drag queen or Mae Young giving birth to a hand?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say Mae Young giving birth. What about you?
I would say, yeah, but it didn't look like a hand to me. It looked like a bunch of dildos stuck together.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a freaking joke too, man. I mean, WWE, is that when they were on the TNN network?
No, I don't think so. Probably, I don't know. But you know what the story behind it is? Apparently, the child, they implicated that Mae Young was cheating on Mark because the hand wasn't black.
Oh, man.
They implied that Mae Young cheated on Mark.
And she probably did. Well, the announcers did this because the hand wasn't black? Because, you know, you can have a child interracial, can have, you know, and it doesn't have to be black just because the man is black.
Well, they'll still think that the wife will be cheating on them, though.
Yeah.
This was the whole drag queen thing was during when Mark Henry and China had a love interest storyline.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mark Henry in China. Boy, China was getting busy, too, man. She was the mamacita.
Oh, my God.
Then she Mark Henry,
thing. But then they did this one fucking moment that was horrible. They implied forced rape on the ring with China, with the Nation of Domination.
Oh, now that right there in itself.
What the fuck?
And it's a damn shame, man, that they never put her in the Hall of Fame while she was alive. She probably needed that.
What the fuck were they thinking with that one? What is with Vince McMahon and rape?
Yeah, man, he's out there, man. He's fucking out there, dude. Some of the shit that he's done, dude, is very, very questionable. And, you know, everything goes through him, so it's not like he can fucking say that it wasn't him.
Oh,
everything
God.
Goes
like, we could talk all the bad shit about Vince Russo all we want, but at least Vince Russo is decent at best. Holy shit.
that right there too deserves a what the fuck.
What the fuck?
You're right.
It seems like Vince did have a line that he wouldn't cross. I'm talking about Russo.
It's like, it makes you wonder how the WWE even won the ratings war.
Because of this. Because of this exact shit right there, dude.
Oh,
God. I'm telling you, man, there was a time when I could not take fucking Nitro anymore. It was too much. I don't remember. I wish I could remember the years, man. But it was just too much bullshit. I didn't like it. Everything was the same every fucking week. It was bullshit, yeah, dude. And WWE was mixing it up, man, with all kinds of outlandish, crazy madness. Just madness shit, dude. Just everything was madness. Why do I not have my fucking madness? Madness.
Madness.
Well, Brock Lesnar technically isn't the first UFC superstar to debut in a wrestling ring. There was also Tank Abbott. You remember Tank Abbott?
I remember the name, but I don't know. Was he dressed in, like, fatigues and shit?
No, he was an MMA star. This was when he was in WCW. Vince Russo had a hard-on for this guy. He wanted to make this guy world champion.
Tank Abbott, yeah, and I remember the name. Yeah, I remember that. I remember Tank. You're right, I do remember Tank Abbott now. I remember him, not clearly, but I remember him. So Vince Russo had a hard-on for him and wanted to make him champion. What happened?
He shouldn't have been in the championship contingency. I mean, he was like being the fake Goldberg. He sucked. The guy sucked
yeah.
in the ring. And his record in UFC isn't that good either. He's pretty trash.
Yeah. But Vince Russo had a hard-on for him.
Yeah. Speaking
yeah,
of hard-ons, what's your take on Vince Russo chosen Jeff Jarrett to win the world championship?
Vince Russo doing what, Jeff Jarrett?
He chose Jeff Jarrett to be the chosen one and made him win the world championship multiple times in WCW.
Man, I fucking hated that, dude. I fucking hated that, and as much as a heel as I was, and Jeff Jarrett was a heel, it made absolutely no sense for me to hate it. But I hated it because of how cheesy it was being portrayed, dude. It was being portrayed at the time. You see, man, I never cared for the Golden Era, okay?
No.
I guess the Golden Era, is that the one that they, that's the one where Hulk Hogan and fucking Ultimate Warrior and all that shit?
I think they called it the Hulkamania era now.
All right, well, that era, I didn't care for that shit. To me, it was too cartoonish, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, man. There was no fucking sense of realism in it. I hated it. I would watch on it just to fucking shit on it. They had that program on Saturday, on Sunday mornings that was with Vince McMahon, and it was like the Tonight Show. They were sitting like behind a desk, and he had his fucking Prince Albert or whatever the fuck his name was as his Ed McMahon and shit, and they were out there doing like a talk show and shit. I think I would watch that just to shit on it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching WCW at the time, and the Southwest Wrestling and all that type of shit, and that was like really cool stuff, man. I mean, everything seemed real. I mean, the Freebirds were fucking pile driving. This was before Ted DiBiase went over there to WWE. The Freebirds were pile driving Ted DiBiase on the concrete floor in the fucking studio in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, that was some fucking real shit. And then you turn the fucking channel to watch fucking, you know, Hulk Hogan or Macho Man Randy Savage fucking parading around the ring with fucking Elizabeth, you know, looking like a fucking metrosexual and shit. It was despicable, dude. I thought it was too cartoonish, man. It was for little kids,
yeah,
man. These guys over here on WCW, they were busting balls, man. Fucking spit and blood and shit was drooling out of the fucking mouths and shit after they got done getting beaten up and shit. It was badass. So I was watching that.
Yeah.
Well, to turn things around, in, you know, WCW later became what WWE was. And things flipped,
yeah,
dude. WWE was now in a violent phase. They were knocking the shit out of people with chairs, beating the fuck out
yeah.
of people and shit. And that was all badass, dude.
Concussion.
The fucking attitude.
Getting real concussions.
Yeah, all that kind of shit. And it was clear, dude. It was clear that it was just so much better. And WCW had transformed, and they were doing the fucking cartoon shit. And I hated it, dude. Yeah. I despised it. There was a time when, you know, back then it was VHS. I would record shit on VHS.
You can blame Hulk Hogan for that. He went to WCW and he ruined it.
He fucked it up. It was great when he first got there, though. I really loved that shit with the Outsiders and Hulk Hogan turning heel. I fucking loved it, dude. But then, yeah. I mean, not very long after, you know, everything got cozy and shit. And you know the saying, man, fucking familiarity breeds contempt. And, you know, you get too familiar with Hulk Hogan again, and they did the same exact fucking thing that they were doing in WWE, and they fucked up WCW.
Part of the blame, too, was because of Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff. He was too easy on them.
Yeah, he got into Eazy-E's ear. And then, I mean, but, you know, they were making fucking money, too, man. They were making money hand over fucking fist.
Yeah.
I mean, they were making a shitload of fucking money. I saw...
Yeah, but they waste... But they waste that money with new stages and... They wasted the money with new stages and new pyro.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about the players. You know, the players were making money. But yeah, man, and I just saw an article with Big Show, but I'll save it for another time, man. We're going spending way too much time on this shit. But yeah,
all right,
fuck
so,
WWE all right, or
so
WCW back then.
Let's move on to the most disturbing one. The artist formerly known as Goldust. Do you remember this, minister?
Let me see. Shoot it to me. Give me the scenario.
All right,
I blow my nose.
Goldust. Okay, so Dustin Rhodes kayfabed, hated being Goldust. He burned the Goldust gimmick, and then became an autistic, you know, artist. He wanted to experiment on himself, so he became personally an SMM character. You know, he loved bondage.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Bondage gimmick.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember now.
What the fuck?
One point, it was a little bit too much. One point, he was walking on all fours like a dog with a ball gag on his mouth.
Yeah, man. That I remember that, dude, especially when he brought it. Oh, God. Yeah, man, that shit was too much. That was just way too much. And, you know... You got to change the channel on that shit, man. Otherwise,
What was the payoff? What was the payoff for this?
So, I don't know, man. At the time, dude, I was wondering why in the fuck he would do some shit like that. Was it something that that was a part of his actual personality, or why would he do some shit like that? Who are you catering to? The scene?
This was worse. He also became hypocritical. This was way worse than Goldust.
Yeah. It was too much, man. It was too much. It was too much even for me, man. Way too much.
What the fuck?
Well, we're going to go to another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more stuff. So here's a word from our sponsors.
More stuff. Yeah, baby.
Hey, you silly kids. It's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show that determines things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
Joe Bates.
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood Cavey, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned. on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again. You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no. What do you want to call it? You want to call it Drinking Soda, but you don't want to call it soda, because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday nights? Okay. Well, you did Rippin' Fridays. You did Saturday Night Special. You did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye. Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Supermarket Free Sample Guy.
Mr. Supermarket Free Sample Guy.
Though man dreads few things more than a trip to the supermarket, you offer us hope and sometimes a free mini weenie.
I love that freebie weenie.
What exactly do you have? Aerosol cheese products? Deep fried morsels? Who cares? If it's on a toothpick and it's free, it could be plutonium and we'd eat it. For a guy wearing oven mitts and an apron, you're all right. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light Titan of the toothpick, because you put the free in freedom. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I bet you 10-1, if we played this music, nobody would have known that it was Eric Rowland. That's how generic it is.
You're absolutely right. Nobody would fucking know it's Eric Rowland. It doesn't even reflect Eric Rowland. Nothing about the song says Eric Rowland.
No.
I could see this song, you know, maybe for a chick. Or even a guy character. You know, but it's all in how you would come out to it. Eric Rowan does not even look like this song.
No.
It's a bad theme song for him, man.
Yeah. Not for anything. Come on. It, not for anything, but I don't think Eric Rowan is special anyway. Like, I think he's holding back Luke Harper, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Eric Rowan is the fucking, I don't know, whatever. He's the Robin
Black
from Batman.
Sheep.
Yeah,
Black
he's,
sheep of the
yeah, he, yeah, he's
the black sheep of the wild family.
The runt. Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah.
He's even his moveset and shit. It's there's nothing
yeah.
about him that says I'm a badass.
What's
other
his
than
fucking
his
finisher?
Size.
A spinning. What's his fucking finisher? A spinning kick.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to what if scenarios. So we talk about what if these things happened instead of what really happened in real life. This one is interesting. What if Drew McIntyre debuted at a Raw, but without Dolph Ziggler, Minister? How would you feel about that if Drew debuted without Dolph?
Woo!
Yeah, I would feel
better.
Woo! Dude, man, I don't know why they felt like they needed, unless if they needed something for Ziggler. I mean, Drew McIntyre seems like he's ready. You know, every... Yeah. Fuck, man. I did not watch his run in TNA, okay? I stopped watching TNA.
It was
probably in 11 or 12.
It was good. His run
and
was good.
Let me
it
tell you,
decent.
Man. Since then, I've heard all kinds of things about different players, okay? I heard about fucking
mm-hmm.
Bobby Lashley. What a badass fucking run he had in TNA, which you have
no, it wasn't.
And I'll take your word
no,
it for
wasn't.
It. Because I don't
it
believe
wasn't.
It. I'm not buying that. But when they tell me that fucking McIntyre had a good run in TNA, I somewhat believe it. Because this guy,
yeah.
I didn't like him at all in WWE when his first go around. I didn't see anything about him being the chosen one special. I didn't see nothing. It was like fucking Eric Rowan's theme music not fitting him. It was the same type of shit. I didn't see shit. In...
The reason why I said that Bobby Lashley's run in TNA was shit is because he was getting treated like Triple H when he first had the World Championship in 2003. He kept holding the title for way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it, and by you know, I didn't buy it either. When people tell me that shit, I just don't buy it. He's fucking shit. He was shit when he left WWE, and he was shit when he came back. How am I supposed to believe he was great somewhere else? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. You know what I mean? Come on, man. I'm not.
Yeah.
I may have been born at night, but not last night. Goddamn. So anyway,
yeah.
Getting back to fucking Drew Mack, man. I thought he was shit when he left the first time around. Then you start hearing things about, oh, man, Drew Mack is badass. Of course, I was, you know, skeptical. So I never did bother to even tune in, dude. Hindsight is 20/20. I probably should have tuned in, given him a chance. You know, I may have liked it, and I may have gone back to watching TNA. I've not watched TNA in quite a while, by the way. And, you know, maybe Drew Mack could have got me back into watching TNA. But, yeah, man, he comes back to WWE.
You know what?
They pair him up with Ziggler, dude. And McIntyre looks totally badass. And Ziggler still looks the same, with or without McIntyre. So it's like, what the hell are they doing? They're wasting McIntyre's time pairing him up with this fucking loser. You know what I'm saying?
He was named Drew Galloway when he went to TNA.
Oh, yeah. I remember the name, Drew Galloway.
But anyway, I think Dolph Ziggler should go away because he serves no more purpose in WWE.
Yeah, he's other than putting people over, I mean, and even that, I mean, he's just taking time, valuable TV time.
Yeah.
Well, next to the one thing that's interesting, Scott Steiner winning the world title in 2003. Now, Scott Steiner's feud with Triple H was awful. It was terrible. It was the worst feud I ever seen. But now we're taking it in a different perspective. What if he won the world championship against Triple H? How far would he have run with it, Minister? How far do you think he would have run with it?
Well, I don't know how far he would have ran with that title. I wouldn't have minded seeing it, though. I always thought he was a little something. He was a freak. You know, he was all right. He had a good entrance. He fucked around a lot, though, but I never had any faith in him being everything that, you know, it just seemed like he was too fucking shady. I feel like the company didn't have stock in the things, in him. They didn't have, you know, confidence in him doing them right. And I think that's what held him back. That's the way I've always felt about that. Whatever the real reasons are, I don't know. But I've always felt like they just didn't have faith in this guy, man. He was too much of a madman. Even in 2003, he was already out there, dude. But yeah, I would have been okay with watching him do a title run. You know, I didn't have a problem with him, so I thought it would have been all right. I'm anxious to hear what you would think.
How far you think it would have lasted?
Well, there's no telling, man. I would have liked to have seen it last a while. Who all was champion back then? Refresh me.
Just Triple H.
And then he started feuding with Shawn after that?
Yeah. Then Kane. Then Shawn again. Then Chris Benoit. Then Randy Orton. And then Batista.
Wait a minute. Triple H and Batista?
Yeah, you know, after Evolution broke up.
Yeah.
So.
And that one Batista won, right?
Yeah. He won all three matches against Triple H.
And that's why Batista told Triple H the other day he hadn't beat him.
Yeah.
You beat everybody in here but me, he said. Damn.
Yeah.
And now we're not going to get to see it.
One was WrestleMania, the first time they fought. The other was the other pay-per-view, always after WrestleMania. I guess Backlash, I don't remember. But then the other one was No Way Out in a steel cage, in a Hell in a Cell match. Batista won all three pay-per-views back-to-back-to-back.
Wow. Was Triple H injured after that?
No, he wasn't injured. He still was a heel. Him and Flair were still partnered up, but then Triple H betrayed Flair. They had their own little feud. Then 2006 happened. Triple H paired with Vince McMahon. He started working with Vince. And then he feuded with the Big Show after that. And then he broke up with Vince and started joining Shawn Michaels to reform Generation X. And the rest is history. That was the whole entirety of Triple H's heel turn through 2003 to 2006.
Wow. Thank you for the information on that. That was badass. How do you retain all that shit?
I'm a workhorse true fan, dude. I know everything, and I say everything.
Damn. Speaking of knowing everything, I know that with us right now is Batman in the Hizzle. Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Batman.
Batman, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I am here. Surprise. Oh, yeah. I am here, man. I've just had a lot of justice to be served. How you doing? Doing pretty well, too. Doing pretty well. and I do know everything. I just don't remember it all at once. So if I slip up a little bit,
Come to class.
That's how I am, dude. I know everything, but I don't remember it all at once, man. My hard drive has been dropped a few too many times, man. Sometimes I gotta reboot that motherfucker. But what were we talking about?
We're talking about the next segment right now. We're going to talk about Baron Corbin successfully cashing his Money in the Bank briefcase. What if this happened instead of what happened in real life? And how far do you think he would have lasted with the WWE title on SmackDown?
All right. So, Rick and
Baron Corbin, you said?
Yeah,
Baron
Corbin. All right, let me see. Who took his Money in the Bank away from him?
John Cena caused him to lose the match against Jinder Mahal.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah. Well, you know,
okay,
man.
So try to make sense out of this, right? The top face just helped the top heel on SmackDown. Try to make that sense. Try to make that work.
Yeah. How the fuck does that happen to begin with? Oh, shit. Let me tell you, man. I don't know. If Baron Corbin would have successfully cashed in his Money in the Bank and won the title during that time, honestly, I don't think it would have worked out for him because he was too fucking green at the time. This was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. This was 2017.
2017, man. He was still too fucking green at the time. I mean, yeah, he's on the main roster and all, but to carry around the championship, I mean, I can remember a time when they made the championship look really bad by tossing it, playing hot potato with that motherfucker. You guys remember that? They were putting it on Jack Swagger. They were putting it on this guy. They were putting it on that guy. They were, and it was just all at once. It was too much, man.
Like every month or so, they were switching the title,
yeah. I hate it when they do that shit. And if they would have gone that route with Baron Corbin, man, it would have probably been more of the same, more of that type of shit, putting it on one guy and then taking it off a month later. And that's only so that they can say, oh, yeah, Baron Corbin, former world heavyweight champion. You know, fuck that, man. Not everybody has to be world heavyweight champion. But, so I'm glad it didn't happen, you know. And because it would have happened, I think it would have been a complete failure. However, I'm glad how things are working out for Baron Corbin right now. I know a lot of people fucking hate on the guy, but I think his character is developing just fantastic right now. He is taking this whole, and I don't want to see him lose to fucking, to Braun Strowman. I don't want to see him lose his fucking, his general manager spot. I love it. I love the way he's handling it.
Well, you do know that if he does lose, they might turn him as a face because, believe it or not, it was Stephanie McMahon who came up with the idea of putting his job on the line in the first place.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, so that would pit him against Stephanie. And, you know, I mean, yeah, that he would be a babyface. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see his babyface work. See if it pairs up to his heel work. Because I'm digging his heel character right now, and it would be a damn shame to take him away from me like that.
Yeah. But anyway, I told everybody on Fatal 4-Way that there was an incident about a wrestler who threw a cinder block brick at somebody's head. I'm about to tell you what happened that night.
I remember you mentioning something about that. I still haven't caught up on that yet.
Okay, so let me find it and let me tell you about it. Because it happened. There was live footage of it.
Wait, man. Before we go into that, though, I want to check out Batman's thoughts on Baron Corbin, if you don't mind.
All right.
Yeah, I was wondering. I agree with Sinister. It would have gone terrible, man. At that time, I believe that the reason they did that was because he wasn't not only was he not getting over, he was I suppose he had like an attitude problem in the back, right? Because he was, you know, real he put himself on a pedestal kind of thing, and you know he just came off as an asshole. But I agree with Sinister too that right now that is actually working in his favor because the general manager role is like it accentuates his assholeness. You know what I mean? So I I don't think it would have gone great with it because it was at the time where they were just passing it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It wasn't like a Ziggler. When Ziggler won, he didn't keep it for that long, but there was something, there was buildup to the Ziggler moment. Baron Corbin wasn't shit at the time, and he wasn't doing shit, so it would have been a terrible fucking idea to give him the belt at the time. Even with the Money in the Bank thing, he wasn't really doing anything with it either, so it only made sense. His Money in the Bank stint was just like Mr. Kennedy's, you know, so they were high on him for a little bit, but his true colors came out, and he wasn't worth the shit, or at least at the time. Right now, I can say different. He's fucking doing awesome.
All right. I have the story right here, so get ready, Minister and Batman, because I'm going to tell you the tale of the fat prick who injured a poor innocent man. That's why I'm titling it, because this is fucking tragic. All right. So, the Raven... Do you know the Raven, Batman?
The Raven?
Yeah.
No, the only Raven I know is Scott Levy. Raven.
Okay, so there's a Puerto Rican superstar called the Raven. He was knocked unconscious and reportedly had his skull fractured after being blindsided by a brutal blow to the back of his head against Angel or Demon. At the Lucha Libre Boom Show. So this happened in Mexico or Puerto Rico. It doesn't specify, but this did happen. Raven was standing on the ground outside the ring when his opponent launched the missile and sent him crashing face first to the floor. The death match, this was a death match, by the way, the death match was immediately called off. Angel or Demon jumped out of the ring to check his fallen rival, but was ordered away by a doctor. Raven was rushed to the hospital where surgeons operated to remove a blood clot. A fucking blood clot. Henceforth, he could have fucking died. He could have died. It was an impenetrable hematoma, and he had a skull fracture. He had surgery to drain the clot. He is out of danger, is in intensive care, and is responding satisfactorily. Curvio's manager, Victor Herrero, announced via his Facebook page the wrestler was recovering well. We are informed, this is what the manager said, by the way, we are informed that the operation to the Raven was a success. The clot was removed and stable. Thank you all for prayers and goodbye. There are reports a benefit show will be held in Mexico this week to help Raven's medical costs. The fat asshole, that's what I'm calling him because he's a fat asshole, who shouldn't be near the business in the first place, said he was aiming for Raven's back. How the fuck can you miss someone's back and fucking hit his head? How the fuck can you do that? He did not have the accuracy. This is what he said. He did not have the accuracy. Whoa, you fat ass. If you didn't have the accuracy, why the fuck did you throw the cinder block anyway? You shouldn't be fucking doing that, you idiot. And it shouldn't even be a real cinder block. It should be a fucking prop, you moron. I apologize to the entire public because, first of all, I am a professional. This motherfucker has some fucking balls to fucking call himself a fucking professional. How the fuck can you call yourself a professional for almost killing a fucking man, you idiot? You're not a professional. But he's been suspended indefinitely by the boxing. No, he shouldn't be suspended. He should be fucking fired. And no wrestling promotion should ever hire his fat ass again. That's my thought. Kurt Angle even tweeted... Kurt Angle tweeted, give me 10 seconds with that stupid motherfucker that threw the brick. Shouldn't be anywhere near the business. Now you got Kurt Angle fucking mad. And that's the fucking report. What are your guys' thoughts on it? What are your thoughts?
All I want to say is I'm a little speechless because I actually just finished it watching that right now. That's bullshit. I'm usually pretty calm, collected. I'm excited about wrestling. I didn't hear about this incident until you told me, or you told me a fatal four way, and I was like, no, I still haven't heard about it. You told me right now, I still hadn't heard about it. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try to look it up right now. What the F? That was uncalled for, unprofessional, death match or not. Look, here's a perfect example. If you're following indies right now, David Arquette has been going and he's been doing the rounds. At 47 years old, he's been doing his work, right? He just recently had at War Games NXT 2 days before that because he appeared at War Games. But if you saw him at War Games, he had at the NXT pay-per-view, he had a bunch of scuffs and all this neck, his face. Well, he had just finished doing a death match himself with I forgot the guy's name. And in this match, he actually it became a shoot at the end because the guy got like a fluorescent light bulb, hit David Arquette in the side of the neck and like literally split the dude's neck, and David Arquette's holding his neck, and he's basically trying to tell him, hey, let's finish the match now. The guy doesn't do it, so David Arquette gets mad and shoots, like hits him with the fucking chair, splatters shit everywhere with the fucking fluorescence, and then they pin him, and then boom. He no sells it and walks out, right? That's not an accident within a match, right? Because you're fluorescent light bulbs. This dude grabbed the fucking cinder block. The guy was not fucking looking, and hit him in the back of the fucking head. I'm disgusted by that. It's uncalled for. Kurt Angle, you know what? I still haven't seen the tweet either. And whatever he says, I mean, that's the Olympic gold medalist, man, and he knows what he's talking about. He's a veteran. And whatever he says, I'm just going to agree. I don't know what he says, but I'm going to agree with what he said because that's fucking bullshit. He could have killed the guy, even if you are shooting. And you know what? Maybe when his mind at that moment was like, hey, I'm going to give this guy a receipt, because those were two mean-ass chair shots that the dude took. The fat guy. I don't know his fucking name. I don't even want to bother knowing his fucking name.
Angel Ortiz.
Andrew Ortiz. You fat fuck you. Those were mean chair shots, yes, but you put a receipt with the same, you reciprocate the same way. You don't grab a fucking cinder block. That's a fucking roadblock, man. That's concrete. I do remodeling for a living. I mean,
he could be arrested for attempted murder.
Yes, that is attempted murder. This isn't a fucking a kendo stick or a chair shot. Or, I mean, one thing is a concussion. This is a fucking, just that thing looked like a curb. Now, I'm doing roofs. We were doing roofs right now on a four-story condos. Well, you know, we got to do all this, lay the concrete and all that shit. That shit looked like he took the side of a curb and just threw it at the dude's fucking head. Murdered the man. And if you look at the guy, the way he landed, stiff, cold, out.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have killed the man. And that's, like I said, normally, I apologize to whoever listened. I'm getting a little serious. This is a serious thing. And this is even worse than that sexy star thing. You know what I mean? At least that was a shoot thing. And the girl was still, even though she wasn't ready for it to be shot at the way sexy star did it, but she still was in a position where she still could have defended herself. This dude had no fucking clue. Reaching for something under the apron, and next thing you know, lights out. You know what I mean? And then you can see the dude did it with, like, vindiction. Like, you motherfucker, you, and fucking hit him. It wasn't a let go. It wasn't like a... Like when you shoot, like when they hit you with a bat or something, you kind of do that little stomp and it, you know, you give it that force. It's like a forced hit, right? No, this motherfucker just chunked the fucking curb, side of the curb at this dude's fucking head. It's fucking disgusting, dude. That's why I didn't answer right away. My blood is boiling. I love wrestling, and that's not wrestling, man. That was just pure garbage, pure shit. No place.
Those
I'm sorry.
Were like those ring fights.
Pisses me off.
Those were like those ring fights where people bet money for them to fight each other in a circle.
The fucking video starts with the videos. What's crazy about it is the video starts with the dude bringing in the fat dude bringing in some fucking bricks from the back.
Mm-hmm.
He hands one of them to the ref.
Mm-hmm.
The ref sees the brick. The ref gets the brick. He comes in. He's walking up the ramp. The ramp is attached to the fucking ring. The ref comes to him right away. He grabs one of the bricks and throws it, places it by the couch or whatever it is, and the fat fuck tosses the other brick. The referee kicks the bricks out. Then the dude takes a chair shot. So the referee knew that these bricks were in the ring. Obviously, the bricks were going to get used. But, I mean, goddamn,
you know what?
Man, you can't say you miss somebody when clearly you didn't aim to fucking miss them.
Yeah, that wasn't a miss. That was not like a fucking lazy-ass throw.
That was not
throw.
A miss, dude. He
that wasn't a fucking intentional. He tried. He hit him in the back. And you know what? You bring a good point, though. The guy who threw it is to blame, but somebody knew that those fucking bricks were there. And it's part of the people that are in the fucking business to make sure that there's nothing around that is going to hurt, unless it's something that is in the guidelines or in the vicinity of like, okay, we're going to do a hardcore match, all right, but we're just going to use chairs, candlesticks, this and that, blah, 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 right? And even then, because you mentioned earlier too, Christian, death match. You know what? It is a death match, but there's still fucking guidelines. Fucking Terry Funk, and Mick Foley. Kings of the death matches, right? But they respected each other. They knew, look, I'm going to hurt you, but it's not going to be a cinder block to your fucking head hurt you. You know what I mean? That I'm a rage, bro. It pisses me off.
This is why I blame ECW. It's because of ECW that this whole shit started. You're not ECW. Stop trying to imitate ECW. Stop it. Because you're really going to kill somebody one day. You fucking moron. You people
ECW, but even with ECW, I'm like I was mentioning with Terry Funk and Mick Foley, they were the king of death matches in Japan. Japan still has death matches. Again, David Arquette just had a death match, a celebrity, a well-known actor, 47. There's still fucking rules and regulations in a fucking death match, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The Taipei match that they had, Axel Rotten and his brother in ECW, there was still a fucking guideline. Like, I'm gonna cut you with this shit, but I'm not gonna slit your throat. You know what I mean? That was intentional. It wasn't a sexy star trying to break your arm. No, he tried to kill him, man.
Stupid.
And there's no other if, ands, or but
stupid.
About it.
That's fucking stupid, dude.
He should be pressed. There should be charges pressed. I mean the guy. Should go fucking for attempted murder. No wrestling. Look, everybody knows that wrestling is a work.
People really do get fucking hurt.
Yes, but that's not a fucking work. You know, that's an intention. That's a fucking.
No.
I mean, look, he can't even say that it slipped his mind. You just picked up the side of a curb. You know what I mean? That's not something that slips your mind. That's not like, oh, this is a stop sign. Oh, this is a kitchen sink. No, it's a fucking side of a curb.
And this fucking guy had the nerve to quote himself saying that he is a fucking professional.
No, that's not professional. That's trash.
Yeah, what has he been
Basura.
Saying? What have they been saying? What about the Raven? Cuervo, has he said anything?
He's making
what
a full recovery.
What about me? What about Raven?
He's making a full recovery.
Yeah, but has he said anything in defense
of
the other
yet.
Guy?
Oof.
I think he's too concussed to say anything right now.
Man, I mean, dude, God, I honestly kind of felt good at first that I didn't see the video. Now that I see the video, it's infuriating. It boils me up. It's like, that's
this
what makes wrestling fucking look bad.
This whole year has been nothing but fucking concussions after concussions after fucking concussions.
Alexa Bliss is out with concussions.
But you know what it is?
Set off Fatal 4-Way. I mean, that's what happens when you work with fucking Nia Jax. She probably concussed the shit out of her a bunch of times.
Well, no, see,
Nia Jax wouldn't do this, though. Nia Jax wouldn't throw a fucking cement block at somebody's head on purpose.
Yeah, see, Nia Jax,
no.
Look, okay, it just so happens that she busted the girl's face and it's been. She may have injured other people, and I know we had that little scuffle. Like, it's not the old days. It's not the old days. But here's the thing.
Yeah, but it wasn't near
like, that was
death.
An accident. Exactly.
It was an accident.
And concussions happen all the time. The only reason we hear about it now is because they have they have a program for concussion.
Twitter.
Before they did it. Well, Twitter,
weird,
people don't want to know what I'm saying is
Twitter.
Now. Well, not just that, but I mean, they actually test for concussions now. You know, before they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and that's good.
I mean, look at Mick Foley, Hank.
That's good that they do.
Mankind, it is. I just had this argument with a friend of mine the other day. He was like, well, it's not as hardcore. And we watched the Royal Rumble of The Rock. I think it was Royal Rumble 90. Was it 99? Royal Rumble The Rock, Mick Foley, and this one when he's handcuffed behind his back.
Yeah, it's not as
hardcore. Right?
People like Mick Foley have gone on record and saying, hey, look, man. I have problems with my health right
exactly.
now because of the shit I did back then.
Yeah, we're
and,
here
you know,
to have it
have
entertained,
to
not
to
kill
to
each
that.
Other.
Yeah, you have to fucking listen to that and take that into account, man. These guys, at the end of the day, they got fucking families they need to get home to. Chair
yeah.
shots to the head, as badass as they fucking look. I mean, you know, we just have to be thankful for the ones we saw because there's no room in the business for them anymore.
Yeah,
so we I agree with you. I'm with you, Sinister. I agree with you. Because somebody was telling me, like, oh, well, WWE or the wrestling isn't as violent as it was before. And I'm like, you know what? I think wrestling is almost – I think it's even more violent than it was before. But the thing is,
yeah,
it's more regulated. It's a regulated violence now.
Whoever's saying that wrestling's not violent, you're living in a fucking bubble.
Then you know what? And you're right, because what I tell them is like, well, all you watch is all you think about is WWE. I'm like, dude, if you ever watch Ring of Honor, or you watch New Japan, or you watch any indie fucking indie show, there's violence everywhere. I mean, look at fucking War Games. That's NXT. That was a violent ass fucking match. That match right there can come to par to any TLC, any ladder match, any hardcore match that they used to have fucking before. It goes up to par to those matches. You know what I mean? The caliber of the violence and shit. The difference is, like Sinister says, we have no fucking room to beat each other up in the head. We're trying to entertain everybody.
No.
We're not trying to fuck people's lives up, man. And if anything, that's not my intention. If I work good with you, I want to keep working good with you. You know what that fucking means? We're both fucking making money. We're making the rounds. If I fucking hurt you, guess what? My storyline or my character or this and that, it sounds a little selfish, but guess what? It does nothing for either one of us. So no,
and people wonder
never
why.
Be there. Yeah.
And people wonder why they took away headshots with steel chairs. Gee, motherfuckers! I wonder why. I wonder why they took away head chair shots, you idiots.
Yeah, I mean, and you hear veterans say it all the time. All those chair shots, all these the spots we used to do, the bumps, and that's why we have no memory and this and this and that. Stone Cold says it in his podcast all the time. So every goddamn chair shot I've ever taken, the main streets of Los Angeles. And he forgets shit because of it. You know what I mean? Chris Benoit. We don't even know if it really was something that he was murdered or whatever. But you know what? If concussion was to be the fallout blame, it's a fucking good ass thing to put an excuse on. Because
he kept diving his head on the top rope.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Shit, I've gotten concussions just from getting hit in the back of a head from somebody closing the back of an SUV, the door on the back of my head. You know what I mean? If I get that easily, these guys are doing it constantly. They're bumping. You know, when they take like a power bomb and stuff, you can still get concussed from that because their head recoils. You know what I mean? If they don't tuck in right. You know how many times I've seen them? You don't remember the last ride? Just a regular power bomb. The other day, Scott Dawson, right? He does a badass. I'm talking about recently. Because now they try to take care of each other a little more, right? But the moves can still be just a little, just as violent. Well, Scott Dawson does a badass. It's Triple H does it too. A spine buster, okay? Well, not that long ago, I saw Scott Dawson do a badass. I think it's his name, right? It is Scott Dawson, right?
Yeah.
The guy,
the nobody.
It's Scott Dawson, and the other guy. Well, he did a badass spine buster.
Zach Wilder.
But dude.
Dash Wilder.
Zach Wilder. Okay, yeah. Zach Wilder's the one that did the spine buster. Well, he did it, dude. I forget who he did it to, but his fucking head bounced nasty. That's a concussion.
DIY.
Yeah. I think it was. It was DIY when they were still together. I think it was Tomasa who took it. Tomasa may have been selling it. That was a hell of a sell. I can tell you that right now. That was a hell of a sell because his fucking head recoiled. And hit that shit nasty. And little things like that, when we're fans, we, you know, especially when you look at injuries and stuff now and the way they pay attention to it, you see little things like that. Like, oh, shit, that, I bet you that was a concussion right there.
You want to talk about real injuries, talk to Jeff Hardy. He's the ultimate spot monkey.
Well, yeah, he's got a condition. But the only thing about him is, I don't know, he's just one of those where he doesn't really get hurt a lot. He's now gotten hurt now because of his older age and the little crazy things he's done outside of the ring. I mean, if you want to talk about injuries, we're talking about Sabu or fucking New Jack. New Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about injuries? This is when he jumped off that balcony onto one of the was it the Public Enemy or something like that, and he fucking split his head open.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's
a concussion.
Or the transit incident. Or the transit incident.
Transit incident.
Yeah.
Was that the one with the little kid?
Jack,
were they bloodying him up?
Yeah,
they bloodied him up way too much, and he tried to sue
kid.
ECW.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate New Jack. He's a scumbag.
But even then, again, rules and regulations. You weren't trying to murder somebody, man. That kid just got a little hurt, and he got a little butt hurt. Hey, you knew what the fuck you were getting into. But nobody threw a cinder block in his fucking brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still heated on that video. I feel like I should have not watched. I feel like I shouldn't have watched it. I was better off not knowing what the hell you were talking about.
Yeah, well, we're here to speak the truth. We're here to expose the fake ass people. We're here to shed the light. We're here to make wrestling great again, what it used to be. But
we're here to keep
that,
it real.
For...
keep it healed.
Yep.
Keep it
safe. Yep. Well, we're done for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That wraps up tonight's edition of Radio Renegade. Join us next weekend for more stuff, spectacular stuff, more news coverage, more what the fuck moments, new what if scenarios. And new misbooking opportunities. I've been your host, Christian Melendez, Minister of Sinister, our producer, and my co-host, Batman, signing off. Successful night of radio entertainment. See you guys next Saturday, ladies and gentlemen.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.